السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And we also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us and allows our maut to take place on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. I wish to discuss one ayat of Quran Sharif today and a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are relating to this period that we are going to and our general reaction to the period that we are going to. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif which I recited in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa, that enter into Islam completely, completely. Ulama explain what is meant by this enter into Islam completely. Before we explain the explanation of this enter into Islam completely, let us understand the background to this ayat of this Quran Sharif. There was a Sahabi, prior to him accepting Islam, he was a scholar from amongst the Jews. And his name was Abdullah bin Salam. Later on he accepted Islam, Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu anhu. So when he accepted Islam, then he thought to himself that in Judaism, we got a certain culture that we would practice upon, and we wouldn't eat camel meat on Saturday, known as the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we wouldn't eat camel meat. So what I'll do, and when now that I'm a Muslim, Islam is not forcing us on a Saturday to eat camel meat. So what I'll do is I'll try to have some type of synergy between both the deens. In other words, Judaism is telling us on Saturday we mustn't eat camel meat. Islam is not forcing us to eat camel meat on Saturday. So I won't eat camel meat on Saturday. So I'll be cooperating with both deens. There'll be some type of synthesis between both religions. So that was his thinking. And this is what he wanted to practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. There isn't such a thing as trying to synergize between two religions. There isn't such a thing as trying to keep Judaism happy and keep Islam happy. You're a Muslim, this is what you have to follow. Understand that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come, then every other deen, every other religion had expired. Like how you get the expiry date on a commodity. Every other religion that was true before this had expired when Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come. So here, the ayat of the Quran is saying, "Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa," that enter perfectly into the state of Islam. Second explanation given, enter into Islam completely. Enter into Islam completely, in other words, with your whole body. Your eyes must be conforming to what Islam wants you to see. Your ears must listen to what Islam wants you to listen. Your tongue must speak to what Islam allows you to speak. Your mind must think like a Muslim. Your heart must also be inclined towards what a Muslim should be inclined. This is how you enter into Islam completely. There shouldn't be any part of you that is getting impressed with any other religion, with any other festivities of any other religion, with anything else to do with any other religion. We enter into Islam completely. What Islam likes, we like. What Islam dislikes, we dislike. So this was the background to this ayat of the Quran Sharif. Now coming to our time and our place we find ourselves in, generally we find ourselves in this time and this period, this December period, where people are excited about participating in the festivities, participating in the functions and participating in the attractions of the kuffar. One ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسككم النار ولا تركنوا don't even be inclined a little bit don't be inclined a little bit also ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا to those people that have oppressed themselves in other words the kuffar the mushrikeen and the kuffar those people that have are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't even be inclined a little bit to their ways their festivities their festivals don't even get close to them this is what the ayat of the Quran is telling us فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ if you're going to do this be impressed by their ways their holidays their functions their New Year's Eves their Christmas celebrations etc then what will happen فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ you will end up touching the fire in other words you will end up in the fire of Jahannam this is not a small thing this is a very very serious thing in one hadith Umar radiallahu anhu so this is the saying of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu he mentions that اجتنبوا أعداء الله اليهود والنصارى that stay far away from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Yahud and Nasara في أعيادهم يوم جمعهم فإن السخط ينزل عليهم stay far away from them on the days when they gather to have festivities when they are gathering together to celebrate when they are gathering together to have functions to stay away from them why they are having these type of celebrations these type of festivities this is their celebration this is not your celebration Allah Ta'ala has kept days for us to celebrate the two Eids that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us these are days for us to celebrate and Allah Ta'ala has made it so beautiful that these days of celebration that we have if we just look back and we look what will happen in the next few days we'll find that those people that celebrate they generally celebrate with fireworks so much of noise is made if a person is sick a person is not well a person has got young children who are trying to sleep babies etc they're all getting disturbed animals also get disturbed with all the different type of fireworks and when our Eid takes place it's so beautiful there's nobody that is getting disturbed there's no inconvenience to anyone else in fact on the day of Eid we show extra kindness we show extra courtesy to everyone else so this is a Muslim is one that is courteous is kind and the day of Qurbani comes we are taught also to share the meat that we have with the poor so this is the style of Islam the beauty of the celebration of Islam not causing any type of inconvenience to anybody else so anyway Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is saying that stay away from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the days that they gather why فَإِنَّ السَّخَطَ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending upon them. Allah ta'ala's anger is descending and falling upon these people. Sometimes Allah ta'ala protect us and Allah save us. We actually plan to go to these type of places. Sometimes you hear a man is flying and he's going to Dubai. Why? I'm going to see the New Year's Eve fireworks. I'm going to see the festivals and the festivities of the kuffar. These are not our practices. We don't even go near. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, He mentions the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were passing by the ruins of the dwellings of the Thamud. Allah Ta'ala's azab was upon them. And whilst passing, imagine they're out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not planning a flight or a trip to go to some exotic destination. They're going to Dubai to see some fireworks or they're going to Paris or they're going to London or going to New York. They were out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they happened to be passing the dwellings of the Thamud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, لا تدخلوا على هؤلاء المعذبين إلا أن تكونوا باكين. That do not enter the dwellings, do not enter the places of those people that have been punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They got the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not enter it, إلا أن تكونوا باكين, except that you have to pass by in a condition that you are crying. In other words, you are scared, you are worried. What should not happen? That I must go there with excitement and happy sightseeing. Let me enjoy the festivities that are taking place. Let me enjoy the celebrations that are taking place. It should never happen. Even if you have to pass by there, be in a condition that you are crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَاكِينَ فَلَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ If you can't enter in this condition that you are sad and you are worried, then these people are earning the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Or they in that condition, the Thamud, they had earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ Don't even go there. Why? لا يصيبكم ما أصابهم. It should never happen that what had afflicted them also afflicts you. You also get caught in the crossfire. You're going there for the entertainment. You're going out in the New Year's Eve to see the partying and the enjoyment and all the madness that takes place. Allah's anger is there. It should never be happen that when Allah's anger comes upon them, Allah Ta'ala's anger hits you also. What will happen if more tests will come to you in that condition where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is upon you? As the Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi mentions one incident of a person. This person had passed away and another pious person had seen him in a dream. So this pious person in a dream is asking him that how did things fare with you? In other words, after you passed away, how did things go with you? So then he relates an incident. Now this incident is a lesson for us. Why? Because we are minorities staying in this country, and very often being minorities, we get caught up in the culture of the country. That whatever is happening in the country, we also have to be part and parcel of it, to such an extent that we don't realize that we are actually celebrating the culture of the kuffar. How many Muslim people have got Christmas trees on their statuses on their phone? What has Christmas trees got to do with Muslims? This is a non-Muslim culture. This is a non-Muslim kufr belief. And Muslims also are putting Christmas trees in their shops, in their business places, and they are saying Merry Christmas and wishing people wrong upon kufr. Allah Ta'ala has sent us to take people out of kufr and to bring people upon deen. This has got nothing to do with us. So anyway, this dream I'm mentioning, Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi says that one person had passed away. He was a good person, generally a good person, a pious person. So another pious person had seen him in a dream and asked him that how did things fare with you? So he goes on to explain his condition. So he says that it was the day of Holi. Holi is a celebration that they have in India where they so-called paint, they color the town red. It's a celebration that everything you paint red. It's some type of culture that they've got. Now this got nothing to do with the Muslims at all. This is a culture of the Hindus that they paint everything red. So he explains that one day, it was the day of Holi, and I had come out of my house and I was going somewhere and I'd seen that everything was getting painted red as the normal culture would be, and I was eating pan. Now those people that know that when you eat pan, then your saliva becomes very, very red and you need to take out and spit out that saliva somewhere. So he says, I was walking past, there was a donkey on the side of my house, and I in jest, just joking, I made a joke out of it. It wasn't something that I really meant or I intended to celebrate this Holi. I made a joke with this donkey. I said, how come you are not colored red when everything else has been colored red? So what I did was I spat that red saliva from the pan that I was eating onto the donkey, and I also colored that donkey red. In other words, I tacitly participated in the celebration of this Hindus. So he says that Allah Ta'ala had made my maghfirat when I had passed away, but there is a small snake on my lip that is torturing me. And I've been told that why did you participate in the festivities? Why did you participate in the celebration of my enemies? Can you imagine? Something that was done not even deliberately to participate, but Allah Ta'ala had taken him to task for this. So this is not something small. This is something which is very, very big. This is something that is disliked in our deen. Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali from Madina Sharif, he would explain and he would say that you people that are living in non-Muslim countries, you minorities, you have to create a culture that moves away from the culture and the norm of your countries. So what you do is you make Friday a special day. In your country, people will look forward towards Saturday night, will look forward towards Sundays, to such an extent that your children that are growing up will actually look forward to Saturday and Sundays. But this got nothing to do with Islam. Islam is Friday. So what you do is, if you have to cook the best meal of the week, cook it on a Friday. If you have to give your children spending, give it to them on a Friday. If you have to dress them up nicely with good new clothing, for example, a nice kurta, give it to them and make them dress up on a Friday. Let Friday become very, very special, to such an extent that the whole community, your whole family is looking forward to a Friday. Break away from the culture of the kuffar. This is not our culture. We stay very, very far away from the culture of the kuffar. Another thing we find is that now we're living in this country, things that become very common, even in our businesses also, you find there's something known as a 13 check. People want to give 13 checks. So if you want to give a 13 check, there's no harm. But why do we have to join the kuffar and give it in December? Let us change it, give it in January, or give it in the month of Ramadan. When a person now will look forward to the month of Ramadan that is coming, I'm getting my 13 check, I'm getting my extra amount. We want to have or give the staff a meal. We want to give some food, we want to feed before the day of Eid, or feed on another day, that creates some link with Islam, but not some link with the kuffar and their practices. Another thing that is very common, and Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah save us in terms of this period that we're going. Remember, like how we protect our children from the fire. Like how we got a child and there's a swimming pool nearby. We won't let that child go near the swimming pool. All the time we'll take care. Sometimes we put a fence around that swimming pool. The children mustn't go near the swimming pool. There's a knife that is lying there on the day of Qurbani. We'll ensure that the child doesn't go near the knife. There's matches that's lying around. We'll be careful that no children are playing. Why? Because we understand the harm that will come via that knife, via that swimming pool, via that fire, via that matches to the child. Do we understand the culture of the kuffar? If they are touching our children, if they are reaching our children, we are celebrating and taking our children to go to these parades and to these places where the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. So we have to be very careful, and sometimes it will be in the name of Islam. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi, that time would say, in the name of Islam, you'll get souks that are taking place, where people are told to come out. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that the best place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid, and the worst place are the souks. The worst place are the bazaars. But sometimes we deliberately take our family and we go to the worst place, thinking we're just spending time. We're just enjoying the moment, when there's so much of guna that is taking place, intermingling that is taking place. Sometimes there's anashid in the name of music that is taking place. Photography and videoing is taking place. And we are deliberately going to such places. Here the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba are going out in the path of Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning them that here also don't go past except that you are crying. You're in a state of sadness. It mustn't be such that you are enjoying yourself and the azab of Allah catches you. So therefore we should never plan to go to places where guna is taking place. Another thing that is common and which is affecting us and we don't realize is our income. We spoke about this before, but just another thing that many people are getting duped and many people are getting carried away is we're getting corporate sponsorships from Islamic banking. Understand what I'm saying? You got, for example, FNB Islamic banking. You got bank with a suffix of ING there. So many people are seeing this, that we got Islamic banking that is sponsoring us. Now let us analyze and see what a great farce this is. What a great fallacy this is. What a great hoodwinking this is. Let us understand Islamic banking. What is this? Firstly, let us ask ourselves, is Islamic banking a natural person? Islamic banking is not a natural person. Is Islamic banking a legal person? It's not a legal person. Then what is it? It's a ghost person. In other words, Islamic banking does not have its own independent existence. Islamic banking, there's no independent existence for it. It has no tax number. It's not registered with the Financial Services Board. It has no independent existence. So then, if you look at it, how many employees does Islamic banking has with the suffix ING in it? Not one single employee. Look at the asset register. Does it have an asset register? It owns no assets. It got not one single piece of furniture. It doesn't own any computers. It has no employees. It does not own any. If somebody says, let's take a drive and see, let us find one Islamic banking branch. It doesn't own one single branch. If you go even to the bank, for example, FNB, you go, show me Islamic banking cashier. There's no Islamic banking cashier. In other words, this is just merely an arm of FNB, if it's FNB Islamic banking. Or it's just an arm, an extension of EBSA Bank. Or it's just an extension of Standard Bank. That's all it is. But people are told, who's sponsoring this? Who's the corporate sponsorship? Islamic banking. Something that doesn't have its own independent existence. It's not a natural person. It's not a legal person. It doesn't have its own tax number. How can it sponsor you? Who is giving the sponsorship? The sponsorship is coming from who? FNB, EBSA, Standard Bank. That is who is funding it. But what we are told in the name of Islam, we're seeing Islamic banking is now sponsoring. And many, many Muslim organization, schools also are accepting the sponsorship. Understand, if we never accepted from riba institutes, how can we accept this? So be careful in the name of Islam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would ask Sahaba, after Fajr he would ask them, that tell me what dreams did any one of you have? And Sahaba would relate their dreams, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give an interpretation to a dream, to what dream they had had. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a dream that he had had, and he gave the interpretation of that dream. He asked Sahaba, should I not tell you what I had seen? Now remember, the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salam is wahi. It's not an ordinary dream like me and you have. Ibrahim alayhi salam had a dream that he was slaughtering his son. This was wahi. He acted upon that wahi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, it's a long dream. I don't have time to go into the whole dream. I just want to explain one part of the dream. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I seen a man swimming in a river of blood. And every time he would come to the bank of that river, there was a man that was there that would take a rock and stuff it into his mouth. And this person would end up going back to the middle of that river of blood. And he would swim all the way back again. Again he would come, this person would torture him by stuffing a rock into his mouth. This person would swim again to the middle of the river and come back. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself explained that this was a person that was involved in riba. Riba is such a thing, you end up sucking the blood. You end up taking away the blood of the poor. And this is what the banks are doing. They're taking away the wealth. They're taking the wealth of the poor and giving it to the rich. We Muslims are accepting corporate sponsorships. And we are getting, when you're falling, when we see the name Islamic banking, as I explained, it doesn't have its own existence. It's merely a window. If you go there to any one of the branches and you tell them that I want a specific teller that only does Islamic banking, you won't get it. It's one for all for one. This is merely an extension. So what we are doing is we're actually feeding our own family. When we're taking money from here, corporate sponsorships, we're taking money from these type of accounts and feeding our families, think that we are putting bowls of blood in front of our families. We're feeding our own families blood. We should never ever do this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given strict warning. The reason I'm mentioning this is many people get carried away. Now even schools, we're saying, are accepting corporate sponsorship from these banks. There was one school that I had seen that right at the front of the school, they had a big advert, the Islamic banking with the suffix ing, the banking. In other words, it gave the impression that there was something Islamic about it. There was nothing Islamic about it. Remember, in the name of Islam, brothers, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi, many years ago had warned it. He said, even a time will come when television will take the name of Islam. People will do wrong things. People will get involved in interest. Now we're seeing life insurance and other type of insurances all in the name of Islam. Music will become halal in the name of Islam. We have to be very, very careful, especially in this time and this age that we are going to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of protecting ourselves from all the evil that is taking out place out there. Remember something, a true Muslim is such that a one day from another day doesn't mean anything to him as far as the kufar celebrations are concerned. If you have to ask a Muslim, you know that tonight is New Year's Eve, he should actually reply that if you haven't told me, I wouldn't even know that tonight is New Year's Eve. It makes no difference to me. My habit is such that after Isha Salat, I finish off whatever reading I need to read. I sleep early so I can wake up for tahajjud. That is my style. It makes no difference whether it's New Year's Eve, whether it's Christmas Eve, whether it's some other Diwali. All these things mean nothing to me. What matters to me is what matters to Islam. Allah Ta'ala make us true Muslims. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of saving ourselves, saving our family, and saving, being a means of saving the whole ummah from all the fitan that is taking place. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.